This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, the Big 12. Trying to plan for their future. Also, I'm leading the bandwagon. I'm at the front of the wagon. I'm the driver of said bandwagon for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And with training camps underway in the NFL and the preseason set to begin tomorrow night, we'll start our series of checking in with different reporters from the local training camps, starting today with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's coming up in just a little bit. We'll see how Trevor Lawrence is faring so far. Travis Etienne, even Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow. And we'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. We'll also check in on Falcons training camp later on this week. We'll check in on the Panthers training camp. We'll check in on the Houston Texans training camp, where Deshaun Watson is currently going through the motions as their fourth-string quarterback, according to the depth chart. An odd situation there playing out, waiting for something to occur. So we'll check in on some training camps here over the next few days and probably even into next week as well as we get ready for the NFL season. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years, and they're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. Baker Roofing provides residential and commercial roofing, and in 1915, they were founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You could also check out their incredible history and see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. You can always join the conversation. You can give us a call at any time, 843-721-9500. You can also always get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can text the show at any time, 843-608-1734. Or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, click on our show page, and leave a comment for the show there. But let's go to the phones because Ricardo is with us. Ricardo, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I wanted to talk a little bit NBA free agency.
Yeah.
You know, we had a weak draft. Most of these guys, the first 15 games, they'll show all their moves, and then everybody in the league will figure it out, and then they'll shut them down. That's how it works, you know, once you go around the scouting. But this was a really weak draft, and I really wasn't enamored with the free agency yet. My brother is NBA agent. He has a couple players in there, high profile. I won't name their names just because. But I found out the Miami Heat and Chicago Bulls right now, I would say, are the winners. They look to be doing a bit. The Lakers kind of got a lot of old players. They kind of re-ran the Karl Malone, Kobe Bryant thing that they tried with Peyton years ago, and that really doesn't work. And then also I found out during the Olympics that the NBA is more entertainment. The Olympics officials don't call all that flopping and all that. They let you ball. And in Fournier with the Knicks, I really don't, you know, he's pretty much, I'm not really enamored. I like Kemba if Kemba's not injured. But the way he looked in the playoffs this year wasn't too good.
No, there's certainly concern over those knees. And if he could get back to that point, appreciate the call, Ricardo. And so that's the big concern for Kemba. But I want to touch on everything that was just mentioned. Yeah, look, the FIBA product I do think is better. The international basketball that you watch in the Olympics. Now, they're quicker game. They're 10-minute quarters. They don't have the replays. They don't call as many fouls. They don't use as many timeouts. The problem is, for the Olympics, it's not about making money. That's not their concern. For the NBA, it is. And where do you make your money? You do it in timeouts with commercials. So that's why there are such a thing as media timeouts, right? Both teams can never use a timeout in the game. The two coaches could agree before the basketball game, hey, neither one of us take a timeout tonight. Oh, okay, sure. But you know what? We're still going to have three timeouts per quarter. Why? Because they have to get commercials in. And then we're still going to have these replays. And then when they do the replays, well, let's get another commercial break in here. And then even with the fouls, yeah, you know, the NBA game has become very physical. In fact, we heard that from one of the Charleston Battery players that joined us, I think it was last week, who was from Italy. And that's what he said. You know, what was the big difference? He said, soccer's a lot more physical over here. I think all of our sports are more physical. I guess we are just more physical people. I don't know. But he said, soccer, right? I found out soccer's a lot more physical around here. Yeah, so too is the basketball, for whatever reason. But when you watch, I do agree to the extent that when you watch these games, right, there's like more flow. It's better viewing. It's better for the viewer. But, of course, the NBA, it's about making money. And how do you make money? Or how do these TV networks that pay millions of dollars for these games make money? It's through the commercials. So you're going to have more timeouts built in. And, you know, fouls take it to a timeout. And then replays, oh, here's a chance for more timeouts. There are more stoppages. It's dragged out in the NBA. It is just what it is. In regards to specific teams, Ricardo took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say that the two winners, I do think, are the Heat and the Bulls. Now, I don't think they've elevated themselves, either one, to championship contender, but they have improved the most. And I'd also put the Knicks potentially there in the next tier, because I don't know how much better the Knicks have gotten, but they have gotten better. Fournier's an upgrade. Kemba's an upgrade over the guards they had last year, right, over Elfrid Payton. And, you know, then you bring Derrick Rose back. And Kemba, if healthy, is that other scorer. The Knicks didn't, you know, Julius Randle was their star, but we saw in the playoffs, he's not really a star. Played terribly in the playoffs. Wasn't ready to carry a team. I think Kemba, if healthy, can do more of that, certainly. That's just the big concern. How are his knees? But the two big winners to me are the Heat and the Bulls when what they've done to improve this offseason. Now, the Heat added Lowry. They just re-signed Oladipo here this afternoon since we've been on the air. You have Jimmy Butler. It's all about today building a big three. And so for the Bulls as well, now they have Lonzo Ball. They have Zach LaVine. You have DeMar DeRozan, even Nikola Vucevic. And Ball's not much of a scorer, but he can be the distributor. So you have your quote-unquote big three. They have some young talent on that team. I think they could be similar to like the Hawks that really take a big step forward that surprise a lot of people. They've improved a bunch, but I don't think to the point that they're serious championship contenders. Because when you want to compare big threes, especially in the East, you still have to compete with the Nets. And you could try to put together any sort of little big three you have. It's not going to match up to Harden, Kyrie, and Durant. Those three versus right, LaVine, DeRozan, and Vucevic. I mean, come on. Or those three versus Jimmy Butler and Lowry and then whoever. Bam or Oladipo. I mean, come on. Right? Still. So it's still going to come down to those big three. So those two teams have improved maybe the most so far in the first couple of days of free agency, but I still don't think they could get to the point where they're winning a championship. Sure, the Bucks just did with Giannis, Middleton, and Drew Holiday. That's not a typical big three per se. You know, one of the best big threes in the league, you would say on paper, but it was also a bit of an odd season with a bunch of injuries along the way. So I guess if the Heat or Bulls get a bunch of breaks, they too can become a championship team. But on paper, they have improved a lot this week, but not to the point where they can win a championship. And in regards to the Lakers, they just keep getting older. I don't get what they're doing. They signed Carmelo Anthony yesterday. They now have five players at 36 years or older on the roster. They have only three guys on the roster in their 20s. It was already the oldest team in the league last year. It has only gotten older. Now, they did add a shooter in Wayne Ellington, and they added, you know, like Dwight Howard. Okay, maybe that helps. And you know, Carmelo Anthony, sure. But you got guys now, Carmelo, Westbrook, and LeBron, who like the ball in the ends. And Carmelo plays no defense. And he's 37 years old. And he's going to have to, you know, he's had to do it a little bit in Portland, but he's going to have to play the role of a role player. He's going to have to be willing to be coming out like off the bench and be like the eighth fiddle, really, at this point in his career. We talked about it on the show yesterday. LeBron loves veterans. He always has. And he doesn't care about the future. He's trying to win now. I just don't get these moves. The Lakers are getting so old. They were already the oldest team in the league this past year. And what happened? They broke down. Now they're only getting older. It's like if your car is breaking down and you replace the parts with even older parts. You think that's going to help it? Right? So I don't think the Lakers, they're aggressive, making a lot of moves. I just don't know if I agree with a lot of them. And as Ricardo mentioned, right, when they went out and got Malone and Gary Payton because they wanted to try to get a championship at the end of their career. And then even a little bit with Steve Nash. Remember when Nash went to the Lakers at the end of his career and they were on the cover of like Sports Illustrated or ESPN, the magazine, whatever it was, Nash and Dwight Howard and Kobe, and that didn't work out either. And so now here they go doing it again, getting guys at the end of their careers coming in. And, you know, they want to play for the Lakers. They hope that by playing with LeBron, they could win a championship. And then LeBron loves to play with veterans. Free agency doesn't officially begin until Friday, but this is the quote-unquote legal tampering period, which I complained about. That was one of my grievances on Monday. I don't get that. Google tampering. It says, like, in the definition, it uses the word illegal. I don't know how we can have a legal tampering. Just call this the negotiation period. And I don't know why we need this buildup either. You know, guys are talking beforehand, and you know teams have plans. I don't know why we need this negotiation period. You should be able to, you want to sign the deal? Go ahead, sign the deal. If you want to talk to other teams, allow the guy to talk to teams. I don't know why we need this buildup. But all these deals that you see are pretty much official. They just technically are not yet. Rarely. Football does this too with the legal tampering. And 99% of the deals go through in football. The only one I remember, and I remember because I'm a Vikings fan, Anthony Barr originally agreed to a deal with the Jets, and then that was in the legal tampering. And then when free agency actually began, he changed his mind and said, no, I'm going to re-sign with the Vikings. That's the only one I can even remember of a player flip-flopping. So these deals will be official. But, you know, it's funny. We have this legal tampering, and then it starts at 6 p.m. on Monday, and within minutes, there's already these deals in place. So it's like, well, you know, that just happened in 60 seconds, or was something already worked out even before this period? It's all ridiculous to me. And it's a pet peeve, that oxymoron of legal tampering. We'll see what else happens in NBA free agency. The Lakers have been probably the most aggressive in terms of quantity. But when it comes to quality, I think the, as Ricardo said, I agree. I think the Heat and Bulls have made the biggest improvements so far this week. Not good enough to win a championship, but certainly to improve. I mean, the Heat were just swept in the first round, barely made the playoffs. The Bulls weren't a playoff team, so they have to improve. I think they'll see quite the jump from this year compared to last. Not a big enough jump to win a championship, but they'll be vastly improved next year. Coming up, we'll check in on Jaguars training camp. How's Trevor Lawrence doing to begin his NFL career? What about Travis Etienne? How is Urban Meyer handling the NFL? And what's it like just having fans at training camp again as we get ready for the NFL season? We'll break it all down with somebody at Jaguars training camp when we come back as we start our training camp series. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's getting near dawn. When lights close their tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love. Give you my dawn surprise.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Let me tell you about Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service. Easier than ever before. They can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, and casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them to schedule a free pickup today. 843-377-6994. You can even track your dry cleaning, see exactly when it'll be ready or delivered. And the best part, mention that you heard about Lyerly's right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and get 20% off your next order. Lyerly's Dry Cleaners, now at their to-go service. Easier than ever before. It's the start of our training camp series where we check in with somebody from a different training camp in the NFL over the next few days or even week or two leading up to the NFL season. And today we head down to Jacksonville to check in on Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Urban Meyer, and the Jaguars with Michael DiRocco, who's with us now, covers the Jaguars for ESPN. You can find him on Twitter at ESPN DiRocco. Michael, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
Doing well. Appreciate the time. Obviously, last year was such an unusual season and year for all of us. Now that we're back at training camp, fans are out there. Does it feel a little more normal in the build-up to this season as just a reporter around the team as it did a year ago?
Oh, yeah. It seems like pre-pandemic, even though obviously down here in Florida our cases are skyrocketing, but you know, it's you know, as enthusiastic a fan base here as I've ever seen with the team. I've been here since 2013 covering them, and you know, I was here in 2017 when they went to the AFC title game, and then what the atmosphere around the city was like, you know, the following year in 2018. But this is even higher than that. The excitement and the anticipation is even higher than that, believe it or not, because of Trevor Lawrence and because of, obviously, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I've heard about the amount of people that have showed up. I heard an interview with Trevor Lawrence the other day where they were talking to him about more people showing up at this training camp than they've had. So you can feel that buzz, it seems, right, in the area that these fans, even though they only won one game last year, they're certainly looking forward to this year.
Oh, absolutely. It's been hot out here, really. I mean, the last couple of days have been okay, but before, they had 3 days of fans out here, and it was ridiculously hot each day, and the fans packed the stadium or packed the practice field. And, next week or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have three more open practices for fans to sit through here. So, I mean, I'm expecting them to be full then, too.
Let me ask you about Trevor Lawrence. I saw a lot of people giving him a hard time because I guess his performance on Monday. I don't take much away from practice. There's a reason why you as a writer, you have editors or you proofread your work, because we don't get judged on our practice. You get judged on the final product or what he may do on Sundays. What have been your impressions, though, so far from what you've seen from Trevor Lawrence heading into his rookie year?
Well, yeah, he did have a rough start on Monday, 1-for-6 with 2 interceptions and 11-on-11, but he bounced back. After that, I think it was 12 of 14 and 7 and 7 and 11 on 11 the rest of the day. He looks like you would expect a rookie quarterback to look, and he's up and down a little bit here and there. He's had really good stretches, and then he's had some stretches where it's not been great. But that's what you expect out of a rookie learning in the NFL for the very first time. And that being said, you can tell he's going to be the real deal because he makes 2 or 3 throws every practice that make us all go, wow. And the ball just leaves his hand on a rope. He's made several throws up the seam that were just absolute cannon shots. And you just look at it and you go, we haven't seen that around here, maybe ever. Just the velocity and the ball placement that he has on those throws. And you can tell he's going to be a really, really good NFL quarterback. Is he going to be an elite guy? Is he going to be Tom Brady, Peyton Manning? I mean, who knows? It's way too early for that, obviously. But I can tell you this. He's going to be a very, very good starting quarterback in this league, and we'll see where it goes after that. But I've been really impressed with what I've seen from him.
Do you think that'll be the case in year one? I mean, we've seen Braxton hit impacts. Justin Herbert last year looked really good as a rookie. What do you think are fair expectations for Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick, a lot of pressure? What should we expect in year one for him?
Yeah, everybody seems to throw around the numbers that Justin Herbert put up, which is, 31 touchdowns, I think single-digit interceptions, around 4,000 yards. And the NFL now is obviously a different beast than it was 20, 25 years ago. But, I mean, I don't. The Jaguars have a pretty solid offensive line. They drafted Etienne. They have James Robinson. They brought in Carlos Hyde, who played for Meyer at Ohio State, who's also a 1,000-yard rusher. So they've got some guys that can run the ball. And Urban Meyer's been really vocal about, hey, I want to rank in the top quarter of the NFL in rushing every year. So if they don't have to, throw the ball all the time to catch up, if they're not trailing by double digits in the second half every week, I do think that they'll be able to ride that running game a little bit and protect Trevor Lawrence. So for me, the expectations should realistically be, like I said, 25 to 30 touchdowns in that 35 to 4,000 yard range there. And if you can keep it to single digit interceptions, that would be fantastic. But, this team, they do have some playmakers. They do have some guys on offense. They have a few guys on defense, but they were 1-15. So it's not a good team. So it's going to be rough here and there. But you just want to, at the end of the season, you just want to go into the offseason if you're the Jaguars going, great, we got our guy, he's going to be fantastic, we don't have to worry about that, now let's figure out how we can fix these other issues.
Talking with Michael Diracco, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for ESPN. Speaking of that running game, as you touched on, you have James Robinson, you have Carlos Hyde, and then they drafted Travis Etienne, which may have surprised a lot of people. Where do you see Etienne slotting in as a first-round pick in that backfield and with this team, at least to begin his career?
Yeah, Urban Meyer said when they drafted him, he wants to use him like he used Percy Harvin at Florida, which was a guy that carried the ball and lined up at wide receiver as well. That's what we've seen. I mean, I think Etienne can be a guy that can carry the ball as a traditional running back out of the backfield. He's done it so far. I mean, he was the ACC's all-time leading rusher. He's looked good when they've had him do it at camp. He's He had a play earlier in the week where he kind of just slid right through this real tiny crack in the middle of the field and then took off. And you know that in a game that that was going to be like a 60-yard touchdown. So he can do that. But the idea is to move him around all over the place and try and create some matchups. Like they were running some 7-on-7 today, and he was in the backfield, then he motioned out all the way over to the left, and then they had linebacker Joe Schobert go cover him. Well, that's not going to work if you're the defense. You can't stay with Travis Etienne if you're going to put a linebacker on him, and that's what they want to do. So I do think that his carries probably will pick up more as the season goes on. I think earlier in the season they'll use him more as a pass catcher, but I do think that he'll be a guy at the end of the year that could have, you know, 5 to 7 touchdowns on the ground and maybe, you know, 3 or 4 more as a receiver because he's just so explosive, and that's one thing that they've really lacked here.
You covered Urban Meyer at Florida, now covering him in Jacksonville. You've covered the Jaguars, as you said, for, you know, going on 8 years. When you watch the training camp this year with Urban running things at the NFL level, do you notice any sort of difference, or does it look like any other training camp you've seen? Right. My question being, how has Urban acclimated himself to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of longtime NFL assistants with him. So, I mean, it. To be honest with you, training camps are training camps. There are some, you know, they're pretty similar in a lot of ways. But I will say this, that the energy level here seems to be more so or higher than other NFL camps that I've seen. It's funny, they have a PA announcer is the best way to put it. But he'll be announcing, hey, 30 seconds left in the period, you know, last rep, you know, we're moving, you know, offense on field 1, defense on field 2, that kind of stuff. So from that aspect, there is a little bit of a college feel to it. But, you know, I guess that makes sense, too, because it is a pretty young team. And Urban Meyer really, you know, this is the way he knows how to do things. And those things are different. But the bottom line is it's football. And these guys are practicing in the heat like you normally would. And these guys are hitting and these guys are running drills. I mean, I haven't really done any drills that I've looked at and thought, well, that's just crazy. That doesn't make any sense. So it's been pretty typical, just higher energy. And you know, the guys have embraced it. I mean, I had one player tell me, I guess in the spring, like, look, we're going to do whatever he wants because we were 1 of 15 last year. Like what we did didn't work. So let's try this and then we'll figure out, if that doesn't work, where to go from there. But let's try it his way. He's won 3 national titles. He's won wherever he's been. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt, and we'll figure this out.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest coaches we've seen in college football. So do you think, big picture, long term, over the course of his career, do you think Urban does work in the NFL?
That is really the big question. I do think that, you know, the one thing that I'll say about Urban is he's a really smart guy. Whatever else anybody wants to say about him, and he's got his critics for sure, but he's a really smart guy, and he knows that there's a bunch of stuff that he doesn't know about the NFL, and that includes roster management, game day coaching, going through the season during the week, figuring out the weekly schedule, how does this work, the injury report, I mean, all that kind of stuff. So I think Herb's a smart enough guy to figure all that stuff out. And if they can figure it out within a year or two and they start having some success, I think this is a better schedule for him in terms of health issues, even though, you know, they will lose more games than you would at the collegiate level. But it's not as much of a grind, I think, in the offseason because of no recruiting. So if they get this thing rolling and they can start winning games and they've got the most important piece with Trevor Lawrence, then I do think he can be a successful NFL coach. Is it going to be like Jimmy Johnson-level success? I don't know. But to be honest with you, it can't be much worse than it's been around here the last decade where they've lost 10 or more games in 9 of the last 10 years.
Yeah, that's true. We're talking with Michael DiRocco, who covers the Jaguars for ESPN. I have 2 last things I want to ask you about. And, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Tim Tebow. You covered him at Florida, now at Jacksonville. What have you seen from him? Has he fit in this training camp as now a tight end? What have you seen from Tebow?
Well, you know, he's caught everything they've thrown at him. That's been the interesting thing. Now, you know, Urban said the other day that, you know, Tebow still is trying to body catch instead of, you know, using his hands to make a reception. So that's something that he's got to work on and get done. But, you know, the blocking issues seem to be something that we're going to have to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks, because you know they just went to full pads on Tuesday. So this is only the second day. So we got to kind of see how that shakes out a little bit. But, you know, he's had the second most catches of any tight end on the roster in 11-on-11, 7-on-7. So that's encouraging. But we'll just have to see how the blocking and the physical part of it works out, because that's really going to be the determination about whether he can make this team or not.
What's your best guess? Come September, when the season starts, they go to Houston. Do you think Tebow's on the roster?
You know, I think if Urban Meyer is going to be willing to use him in some different areas, you know, maybe as a fullback, he's lined up at H-back a couple of times, as a Wildcat quarterback, you know, as opposed to just a straight traditional tight end, then I do think he makes the roster. But if it's just going to be as a straight tight end, I don't think he does.
Last thing for you, Michael, before we let you go. I was just talking on the show yesterday about teams in the NFL that I think are the toughest to predict. I think they have the widest variance. And the Jaguars, for me, are one of those teams. They just went 1-15, first-time head coach at the NFL, first-year quarterback. I could see them struggling again this year. I don't think anybody would be surprised if they only win, say, five games. But at the same time, with that division and the Colts issues now, I also don't think I'd be surprised if they win, say, 10 games and Trevor Lawrence looks like Justin Herbert in year one. So my question for you would be, what are your expectations, or I guess what should be reasonable expectations for year one of this experiment in Jacksonville?
Well, I think to me, 10 is a little too high. But I don't see any reason why this team can't win 6 or 7 games, which is a pretty significant step up from last year. Obviously, 1-15 was just horrific. But there's still so many issues that they have to figure out. You know, I mentioned they do have some playmakers with DJ Chark and Marvin Jones and ETN and James Robinson, but you're dealing with a rookie quarterback, and you're going to get ups and downs with those guys, and you have to kind of weather that. And there's so many questions still on this defense. You know, they where's the pass rush coming from? I mean, Josh Allen, 2.5 sacks last year after 10.5 as a rookie. I mean, that's just, you know, that's not good enough. He's got to get better there. Where's the other defensive end or the other outside linebacker, Kalavon Chaisson, first-round pick last year, just 1 sack. So he's got to deliver. They've totally rebuilt the defensive line. So what is that going to look like? Are those guys going to be better against the run? I just think there's too many questions defensively for this team, for me to see this team as a group that can, you know, go 9-8. You know, or 10-7. I just think that's asking a little too much.
He's Michael DiRocco, who covers the Jaguars for ESPN, on Twitter at ESPN DiRocco. Michael, appreciate all the time and the insight. Great stuff. And as you said, it's an exciting year for the Jaguars. So, hey, enjoy covering this team this year.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.
Hey, pleasure's all ours. Appreciate the time. Michael DiRocco from ESPN covering the Jaguars. And interesting that he's most exciting year. And I was going to ask him about that, and they answered the question before I even had to ask. Because it wasn't that long ago that the Jaguars even started. And every team, their first year, right, it's a big deal. You sell out the games the first year, everyone's all in, and then you struggle a little bit. Now, for the Jaguars with Tom Coughlin, they were pretty good early on. They had some of their best success, actually, early on. Right? So that first year is really exciting. And then they go to the AFC title game a couple years ago. The follow-up to that should be really exciting. But he believes, and he's been in the area. He went to school in Jacksonville. He's lived in Florida his entire career. He's been covering the Jaguars for 8 years. He thinks this is the most excited the Jaguar fans have been, and I could understand why. Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, even Travis Etienne in that backfield. They've done some things this offseason to create some of that excitement, and they begin their season September 12th, week one, in Houston. Will Tim Tebow be part of that game? Will Deshaun Watson on the other side be part of that game? Appreciate the time from Michael. When we come back, speaking of these Jaguars, I'm going to continue to drive this bandwagon. I'm in the driver's seat directing this thing, and I'm pretty excited for the Jaguars this year and what Trevor Lawrence can accomplish. We'll get to that when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Through my window today, could have tripped out easy, but I changed my way. It'll take time, I know it.
It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Appreciate the time. Last segment from Michael DiRocco, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars in the first of our training camp check-ins around the NFL these next few days, getting ready for the upcoming season. And if you ever miss anything from the show, such as that conversation with Michael, you can always find it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts, to find the full show on demand. Plus, you can also find it online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page right on the homepage and find the podcast available there. And you can listen to the podcast through our free app as well. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store and download that bad boy. And you can only not only listen live, but also listen to the show on demand through the app as well. Appreciate the time from Michael. He had tweeted out yesterday that Trevor Lawrence went 18 for 27 yesterday with an interception, but did go 4 for 5 on third downs in the 11-11 drills. Monday, he struggled, going 1 for 6 with a pair of interceptions in the 11-on-11 drills. So for those that are tied in or curious how he's doing or paying attention, reading the training camp reports and everything, I don't take much away from practice, but that's how Trevor Lawrence is faring so far in the NFL. But I like this Jaguars team this year. I've been saying it all offseason. They won only one game last season. And yet there's a reason to be optimistic with them this year. Now, with that said, I did share on the show yesterday, we ran through the teams in the NFL that I think have the largest range of possibilities. And the Jaguars, I put in that top category, where I think their range could be 6 wins wide. I could see them winning as few as 4 games this year. They were 1-15 last season. They have a first-time head coach in the NFL. And they have a rookie quarterback. Plus, even Travis Etienne is a rookie, supposed to play a role in that backfield. Michael DiRocco, last segment, when joining us, talked about the concerns on defense and lack of pass rush. So I could see, they won only one game last year. You're going to tell me they go 4-13? I could see that. They're still rebuilding. But I could also see the other side, the positive, that if everything maybe goes their way, if Trevor Lawrence has an immediate impact like Justin Herbert, if Urban Meyer seems to pick up where he left off at the college ranks, plus in that division, Travis Etienne plays well as a rookie. He's a dynamic pass catcher for him. They get some help on the defensive side. I could see this team winning 10 games for a couple of different reasons other than what I just laid out. Number one, maybe the most important, and I go off of Football Outsiders for a lot of my metrics or rankings or data. I appreciate the folks at Football Outsiders do a great job breaking it all down. They have the Jaguars with the second easiest schedule in the NFL this year. And that was before the Colts issues, where this week the Colts have announced first Carson Wentz and then their all-pro right guard, Quentin Nelson, who is the best right guard in the league, both have the same foot injury and both will be out 5 to 12 weeks, which is another wide range. So the Colts will be without their quarterback. They'll be without their best offensive lineman. And the drop-off from Carson Wentz, as much as he struggled to then go to a Jacob Eason or a Sam Ellinger, is huge, especially if he's going to be out for 12 weeks, which would get us to November. That's half the season. So now you have that in the division. You have the Texans, who are a dumpster fire. The only tough team in that division is the Titans. The Jaguars, theoretically, say Carson Wentz is out a little bit longer this year or he struggles like he did last year. Would I be shocked if the Jaguars beat the Texans and Colts all 4 times they play those 2 teams? I wouldn't. Then even if you lose 2 to the Titans, right, you're 4-2, and if you go 6-5 the rest of the way, you play .500 football elsewhere, you're winning 10 games. I could see them being a 9 or 10 win team. And the other aspect, too, is not only Trevor Lawrence, we're seeing quarterbacks have more success right away than ever before. Justin Herbert looked great last year, even Joe Burrow before his injury. Guys come in, their rookie seasons, they're looking good. Kyler Murray, right, played well his rookie year. No longer is it that whole rookie struggle, they should sit for a year or two. Some guys, sure, right, Dwayne Haskins never looked ready. There's been some guys over the years that first-round picks still don't look great. Baker Mayfield took a little time. But the majority of these quarterbacks that go in the first round, let alone first overall in this can't-miss prospect like Trevor Lawrence, they have success right away. But for the coach, for Urban Meyer, a couple of different things at play where, as a college coach coming to the NFL, over the length of their career, things usually don't work out. We all know the names, Butch Davis, Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban, Bobby Petrino, if you're a Falcons fan, what a disaster that was, Lane Kiffin. All these college coaches that come to the NFL don't have success, at least not in the long term. But when they do have success, is actually in their first season. And the last, let me count these off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12. The last 12 college coaches to come to the NFL improve their teams or at least match the same success the year prior in year one. Right, Matt Rhule to the Panthers last year. Statistically, they had the same type of season. Cliff Kingsbury improved Arizona in year one. Bill O'Brien improved Houston in year one. Greg Schiano came to Tampa Bay. He ended up being a bit of a disaster, but year one was good. Doug Marrone going to Buffalo year one. Chip Kelly made the playoffs with Philadelphia. Jim Harbaugh turned around San Francisco, made the playoffs year one. Right? Even Nick Saban year one in Miami, that was his winning season and then was gone a year later. Coaches can have success that first year. Why? Because really two things. Number one, the other teams can't figure them out. Number two, their own team can't figure them out. What do I mean? Well, number one, other teams can't figure them out. It's just like a rookie quarterback or a rookie pitcher in baseball or hitter, right? Where they first come in the league, they could catch you by surprise. Then you get some tape on them. You figure out their tendencies. Urban Meyer has always been a guy that's been willing to adapt and adjust. Right? I mean, he had quarterbacks like Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins on one side, and then he had quarterbacks like Tim Tebow on the other. And his whole thing with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, and you know, he'll be able to adapt and adjust. So you may not know what to expect from him now with Trevor Lawrence and Etienne and these other guys in the NFL. And he could catch you by surprise that first year, much like Chip Kelly when he arrived in Philadelphia. I mean, you knew what he did at Oregon, but you didn't see it at the NFL level. You didn't practice against it. It wasn't exactly the same as what he did in college. And that first year, he did catch a lot of people by surprise. Their offense was actually really good. It was their defense that was terrible. And they had a good first year, Chip Kelly did in Philadelphia. We remember all the bad times that followed, but that first year in Philly, it looked like it was working. Right? Urban Meyer can fool some other teams until they get an offseason and figure out, like, oh, here's what he likes to do. Here are his tendencies. This is his MO. Okay, we'll be better prepared next year. And the second part is you can also kind of fool your own team, right? Like Lane Kiffin in Oakland, when he was like 33, gets hired there. The players will give you the benefit of the doubt. We heard it from Michael Diracco when he joined us last segment, that Jacksonville players said that, you know, they're going to buy in because they only won one game last year. What ground do they have to stand on? And Urban Meyer is a great coach, so they'll give him a chance. Now, they may find out, like, yeah, this guy, this is not going to work in the NFL. He treats us like kids. He thinks this is still college. That's what happened with Nick Saban. Right? Nick Saban, it worked at first, and then Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor are saying, like, we make more money than you. You're going to boss us around like we're kids? Like, this isn't LSU. This isn't college. And Saban quickly bailed. But at first, it could work before people get tired of it. So again, leads to first-year success. Then by year two, it's like, oh, enough of this. He makes us run laps or whatever, right? Treats us like we're kids, like we're still in college. All right, it worked at first, then it gets tired real quick. So it allows these coaches to have success early on because they can catch their opponents off guard. They can also catch their own team off guard, where their own players are going to buy in because he's new. All right, let's give it a try. Just like you in your own life, right? A new boss comes in. All right, I'm going to be open-minded. Let's give him a try. Some of the things early on, I'm like, okay, this is different, but I like it. And then after, you know, the first year, 12 months in, you realize like, oh, yeah, you know, there's some good, but a lot more bad. And what I thought was good got old pretty quick. And it's actually kind of annoying. I like the way things used to be done. I gave it a chance. I gave it enough of a time to determine whether I like it or not. Yeah, I don't really like it. And it's the same idea with Urban. So that first year you come in, second easiest schedule in the league. Young quarterbacks having success right away. The division's wide open. The Texans are a dumpster fire. They're not going to be this bad, you would hope, moving forward. The Colts have injuries now that they probably won't be dealing with beyond this season, right? Moving forward, the Titans just lost their offensive coordinator. They're going to have to go through some changes. Plus, guys that have as many carries as Derrick Henry historically have a bad season the following year. Derrick Henry's coming off a year where he had a lot of carries. Could this be the year he takes a step back? I think there's a lot of things that could line up for the Jaguars to have success. They won only one game last year. But I think they could have a winning season this year. Will they make the playoffs? Maybe. I mean, as a wild card, or if that division is really bad and, you know, it only takes 9 or 10 games, I don't know if I'd go that far. I just think they'll be much improved, and I think Urban will look good, and Trevor Lawrence will have a good year. I remember the Colts were 2-14. Then they drafted Andrew Luck. They hired Bruce Arians and Chuck Pagano. And the next year they won 10 games and went to the playoffs. One offseason. They improved just by a new coach, new quarterback. They won almost 10 more games. Could the Jaguars do something similar with this generational talent, Trevor Lawrence, and this great coach, Urban Meyer? I could see it. Easy schedule, weak division. You know, plenty of fan excitement as well to help. Urban Meyer has early success. Trevor Lawrence is ready right away. ETN plays a role as a pass catcher out of the backfield. You find some help on the defensive side of the football. I could see the Jaguars having a good season. I could also see them really falling flat in their face because they only won one game last year and have a bunch of changes. That's why yesterday they were number one on my list of teams with the widest range of possibilities this year. I think it could be another disappointing season as part of the rebuild, or I think it could be a pleasant surprise for Jacksonville. And as the director, driver, leader of this bandwagon, I'm going to say pleasant surprise. I think Trevor Lawrence plays like Justin Herbert a year ago. I think the Jaguars are very competitive and around 500 this year. Hey, you ever have a problem around the house and you think, I can't fix that? Don't worry, because the Canty Foundation Specialist can. Check them out online, cantycanfixit.com, or give them a call, 843-484-3625. Because Canty knows how tough it can be to find a contractor that you can trust. So they offer warranted solutions and a free, no-obligation estimate for all foundation repair services. And, of course, this time of year, right? I know it's rainy out. It's kind of nasty these days. But when it's actually sunny and beautiful, you're outside with the shoes off, the kids are running around, people are over at the house, so you got to protect your toes. If you have concrete around your home that's cracked or uneven, such as a sidewalk, driveway, patio, or pool deck, the Canty Foundation Specialists offer the repair options you need to help you protect the look of your concrete, the value of your home, and the integrity of those little toes. Contact them for a free estimate today, the Canty Foundation Specialist. Online at cantycanfixit.com or call them 843-484-3625. We'll wrap up your Wednesday when we come back. How the tables have turned in college football. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
What a funky finish to your Wednesday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, like our breakdown of Olympic golf with Jeremy Schilling, or our first training camp check-in with Michael Duracco at Jaguars camp in Jacksonville to get the latest on Trevor Lawrence, don't fear. You can find it all on demand. Just search ESPN Charleston however you listen to your podcast. ESPN Radio Charleston. Or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com. Click on our show page and find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there. You can also take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through TuneIn Radio, your smart speaker, or a free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And through the app, you can not only listen live from anywhere in the world, but also find the podcast available on the app as well. Appreciate listeners hanging out with us from at least 9 different states and at least 3 different countries on this Wednesday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show. Appreciate you. Tomorrow, we will check in with Falcons training camp, and we'll see how things are going over there in year one of Arthur Smith. With Kyle Pitts in town and Matt Ryan with a new offense, we'll check in on Falcons training camp tomorrow. Tomorrow is also the start of the NFL preseason with the Cowboys and the Steelers in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night, although it's already been announced that neither quarterback, I believe, is going to play. Dak Prescott with some issues, some health issues, an injury this week, and Ben Roethlisberger, old veteran, doesn't need to play in this game. But nonetheless, I'll be sitting down looking forward to it, watching it all tomorrow night. Before we go, I started the show talking about this. Let's come full circle on the story we got from The Athletic last night about the Big 12 and the Pac-12 getting together, the Big 12 reaching out to the Pac-12. And I compared it much to what a lot of people, unfortunately, probably had to go through during the pandemic. It's hard to continue to operate when you have 50% of your revenue slashed, but in a lot of cases still have the same amount of payments or the same amount of money that you have to spend. Now you have the same payroll. Now you could lay some people off, but you know, you still have to pay rent and pay electricity and this and that and whatever. You got all the overhead, and yet there goes half of your revenue, if not more. And you have to come up with a plan. So the Big 12 is trying to come up with a plan. Fortunately for them, they have more of a heads up than we did with the pandemic in the past year, because we're told they don't have to worry about this for four more years. So the first part of their plan was, well, let's reach out to the Pac-12 and see if we could come up with something there. And I just find it kind of funny, right? And I've been tough on the Pac-12 too, and, you know, deservedly so. But I've also said on the show before that if it wasn't for the Pac-12, the Big 12 would be in that situation. We would point and laugh at the Big 12 because we always need somebody. You all have that friend in your friend group. You may love them to death, but you know you have that one friend that you're all going to pick on. They're your punching bag. Maybe you do it to feel better about yourself, or maybe they're just a goofy guy. Whatever it is, they're the ones that struggle. Whatever it may be, you all have that one friend that they get picked on more than everybody else. And so then the next person in line should have the awareness that, like, thank goodness for this kid. If he wasn't part of our friend group, I would be that person getting made fun of. Right? I don't really have it together, but at least I'm a little bit better off than that kid is. Everyone makes fun of him and his situations he gets himself into. I'm not much better. And so as you hang out, right, you always point your finger at that kid. I mean, oh, look at his shoes. Oh, what is this goofy guy doing? Right, because you want the attention off of you. That's been like the Big 12 with the Pac-12 for all these years. The Big 12, they've been underachieving as well. But the Pac-12 is such, they're even an even bigger disaster, at least were, that we all laughed and pointed, and, oh, the Pac-12, they can't even get to the playoff. Sure, the Big 12 would get there, but they then couldn't win any of the games. And now, all the tables have turned, where the Big 12 lost their two best assets. They're crumbling apart, and they have to reach out for the Pac-12 for their assistance. And as we see, like I said, in the past, those two aren't that much different. They're not that far apart. They're not separated by that much. The only difference between the Pac-12 and the Big 12, really Oklahoma, not even Texas, because Texas hasn't had enough success. They're a big brand, but without the success. They're a USC. Oklahoma was the only difference. And now that they're leaving the Big 12, they're even worse off than the Pac-12. If I'm the Pac-12, who finally has some sort of leverage for the first time in a long time, I'm saying thanks, but no thanks. We'll do some scheduling with you to get ourselves in front of different people, different time zones, play different teams. But if I'm the Pac-12, you look at the rest of the teams in the Big 12, I wouldn't have any interest in taking them on. The Pac-12 still has programs with some history there. They still have some good brands. You really care about a Kansas State or a TCU to come in the Pac-12? I don't think that's the way I would go. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcasts. The show is also available in podcast form through our free app and online at charlestonsportsradio.com. To find the app, search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon for a Throwback Thursday and our check-in with the Falcons training camp. It's the More Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.